for today recording. Oscar M. Baker is speaking. And the date is November the 1st, 1986. And our subject is a continuation of our studies in Genesis, verse by verse. And we have gotten through to chapter 32 through verse 8. Ready to take up verse 9. Genesis 32, 9. And it's a good idea for you to read right along with this, so that it'll become more real to you and remember some of the details. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, return into thy country and to thy kindred, and I will do well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies, and of all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Jacob can get in earnest when he gets to the end of his rope, can't he? He has parted with Laban, and he cannot go back because there is a heap of stones, a Mizpah, between them. He can't go back to Laban. They've made that decision. He headed back for his home, and now here's Esau going to meet him with a band of 400 men. What to do? Well, he's beginning to get a little more serious about things. Deliver me, I pray, thou, or thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he shall come and smite me, and the mother with the children. Now, Jacob had reason to fear his brother Esau. He hadn't done right by him. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. He's reminding God of what he promised him, what he said to him. And he lodged there that same night, and took of that which came to his hand, a present for Esau his brother. He's going to give a present to him, a bribe or whatever, to get favor with him at least. Buy him off. 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 kine and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, Pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, When Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, Whose art thou? And whither goest thou? And whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, They be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau. Behold, also he is behind us. And so he commanded the second and the third, and all that followed the drove, saying, On this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when you find him. And say ye moreover, Behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and after it I will see his face. Peradventure he shall accept of me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night, and took his two wives, and two women servants, and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And that's taking him across over into the land of Canaan, out of Haran. And he took them, and sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had, everything. And Jacob was left alone. It sounds a little bit like they have gone over, but he hasn't. And I'm pretty sure that's the way you'll find it as we go on. They have gone on. He stayed behind. He has some business. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now this must have been some time after nightfall. And here a man approaches him, like a wrestler would, I suppose, and gave a grab and started mauling him. And they didn't wrestle very gently in those days. And so, in fact, it was more than wrestling. It's not only wrestling as we know it now and so on, pitching strength against strength, but there was some fist falling too, and kicks and all that sort of thing. About everything went. And Jacob here was, well, he's 97 years old, but he had been out with flocks, and he was hardened, and so he wrestled until it came daybreak. That'd be quite a few hours. And he, capitalized, this man, saw that he prevailed not against him. He touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now the capital letters there is confusing. You'll have to follow it your own way. And he said, and this man said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he, Jacob, said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." He must have had a good hold. Jacob prevailed here in one way, at least, as he always had. At least he seemed to get the best of the wrestling, although the man had to put his thigh out of joint. And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob, Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince," that's what the word Israel means, "hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Well, tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" Jacob, you don't need to ask, you can guess. And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, P-E-N-I-E-L, which is later changed to Penuel, P-E-N-U-E-L, which is first called Bethel. Same place. And so as Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. It is believed at that time no one could look on God and live. Well, who was this who was wrestling with Jacob anyhow? A man. Jacob says, "I've seen God." And as he passed over Penuel, or it is changed, the sun rose upon him, and he halted or limped upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat out of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. That is, that's the tendon, we call it, that holds the socket in, or the ball into the socket, the hip. And I can imagine that Jacob had a pretty hard time limping along with that. He was surely a needy staff now. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost, the safest place. Rachel gets the favor, you see. And he passed on over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him, and embraced him, and fell on his neck, and kissed him, and they wept. That wasn't the meeting that Jacob was really expecting, but of hoping for. And he lifted up his eyes, and saw the women and the children, and said, "Who are these with thee?" And he said, "The children which God has graciously given thy servant." And then the handmaidens came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, "Well, what meanest thou by all this girl which I met?" He said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. A present. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. He says, you don't have to give me anything. He said, I got plenty. And Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if thou have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present in my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Just a roundabout way of saying that he was awfully glad that Esau had let bygones be bygones, and they could be friends again as brothers. He says, take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. So Esau took the present. And he said, let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee. That's Esau speaking. And he said, that is Jacob said unto him, my Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with young are with me. And if man should overdry them one day, all the flock would die. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly according as the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure until I come unto my Lord unto Seir. Here is something a little bit hard to understand. Well, we knew from what we'd found here before that in Edom, the region of Seir was first, Esau had settled and he had gotten rich. And now Jacob's coming down this way and he's telling Esau to go on before because he has to travel slow with his flocks, and that was a good excuse. And he says he's going to come to him to Seir. And I can't find any place where I ever did. Can you? And Esau said, let me now leave with thee some of the folk that are with thee. And he said, what needeth it? Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord. So Esau returned that day on his way unto Seir. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth. He didn't go to Seir. He journeyed to Succoth. Dealt him a house. Made booths for his cattle. Therefore the name of the place is called Succoth. He didn't follow up Esau to Seir at all. And Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan. When he came from Padan Aram and pitched his tent before the city. And he bought a parcel of the field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it El Elohe Israel. That is God, the God of Israel. But this wasn't exactly a place for the altar, I don't know. Well, anyhow, this seems to depart. Well, we come to this daughter Dinah now again. She was born to Leah. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. And he loved the damsel, and spake kindly unto the damsel. Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, get me this man's damsel to wife. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. All his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. He didn't say anything about it till they came. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out, and Jacob to commune with him. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it. And the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, which saying ought not to be done. And Hamor communed with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you give her him to wife. And make ye marriages with us. And give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you. And ye shall dwell with us. My land shall be before you. Dwell ye, and trade ye therein, and get your possessions therein. There is a great temptation, trap set to get Jacob or Israel to compromise and intermarry as the idolaters of the land instead of being a good servant of Jehovah. And Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren, let me find grace in your eyes. What ye shall say unto me, I will give. Ask me never so much dowry and give, and I will give according as ye shall say unto us. But give me the damsel to wife. And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor his father deceitfully, and said, because he hath defiled Dinah, our sister. And they said unto them, we cannot do this thing, to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised. For that were a reproach unto us. But in this will we consent unto you. I think these boys did a dirty trick here. If you would be as we be, but every male of you be circumcised, then will we give our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. But if you will not hearken to us to be circumcised, then will we take our daughter, and we will be gone. And their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. And the young man deferred not to do the thing, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter, and he was more honorable than all the house of his father. I want you to notice that. Even though an heathen, worshipped idols and so on, he was more honorable than all the house of his father. And Hamor and Shechem, his son, came into the gate of their city, and communed with the men of their city, saying, these men are peaceable with us. Therefore let them dwell in the land and trade therein, for the land, behold, is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only herein will the men consent unto us to dwell with us to be one people, if every male among us be circumcised, as they are circumcised. Shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us. And unto Hamor and unto Shechem his son hearkened all that went out of the gate of the city. And every male was circumcised, all that went in and out of the gate of the city. Now you can see this is a plot. They'll do what Jacob said, but their idea is to get everything that Jacob had. You see the plot. And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, actually their brothers, took each man his sword, and came upon the city boldly, and slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. They took their sheep and their oxen and their asses and that which was in the city and that which was in the field, and all their wealth and all their little ones and their wives took they captive and spoiled even all that was in the house. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me to make me stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I, being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me, and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. And they said, well, should he deal with our sisters with an harlot? Now these boys weren't too good themselves, if you read the history. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, dwell there, and make there an altar unto God, that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. All right, getting back to Bethel. And back and dwell there. The place where God had appeared to him. Well, that's a long journey from Bethel back to Penuel and finally to Bethel again. Over 20 years. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. Well, he had said to him, make a temple there. Well, at least he's going to make an altar. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak, which was by Shechem. Why didn't he destroy them? Seems to me Jacob comes a little short so often. Just not, can't quite go all the way with God. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was on the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which was in the land of Canaan, that is, Bethel, he and all the people were with him, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, God, the house of God, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she is buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Elon Bakeleth. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful, multiply, a nation and a company of nations. Sometime I've outlined this word company here. A company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come of thy loins. Which, of course, all we have to do is take the Kings and Chronicles and the genealogies and see if this came true. And the lambs I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke to him, Bethel. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was a little way, but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass as her soul was in departing, for she died, as she called his name Ben-Ami, for his father called him Benjamin. Let's see, Benjamin. If I can quickly get. Son of my right hand, yes. I thought of something like that. And Rachel died, and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that is, a pillar of Rachel's grave, unto this day. Well, we can't help but feel a little sorry for Rachel. Our sister got ahead of her in the marriage in the first place and seemed to be ahead in so many things. And yet Rachel was the beloved one, that would be some comfort. And Israel journeyed, and spread his tent beyond the Tower of Edar. And it came to pass, when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. All the sons of Jacob were 12. And then we take a review of them. The sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad and Asher. These are the sons which are born to him in Padan Aram. Notice that 8 of these comes from Leah and her handmaids, and only 4 from Rachel and her handmaids. And it doesn't mention Dinah in this, of course. And Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, and to the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 180 years. That's 180 years that Isaac lived. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. So here Jacob and Esau finally get together on one thing. They bury the father. Chapter 36, Genesis. Now these are the generations of Esau, which is Edom. Now actually, folks, according to the rules and so on, this is referring back to what is before. Actually, But now we go on to the story. Esau took his wives of the daughters of Canaan. He did the wrong thing. He's mingling with the enemy. And he took Ada, the daughter of Elon, a Hittite. Now, we're not too sure today who the Hittites were. Remember that Bathsheba, the wife of David, was a Hittite. That is, her husband a Hittite, and she would take that at least as her nationality. And we find there was a great Hittite empire. And now some folks are beginning to get some ideas about it and are thinking now, and hunting for further proof, that the Hittite empire was the same thing as the Chaldean empire. And it's from Chaldea that Jacob, or that Abraham came, remember, from the Ur of the Chaldees. Since that's the case, then, of course, really, Bathsheba then are the same people as David. Well, it's pretty hard sometimes to follow these genealogies, but they're interesting. So here's the wives that he took. He took Ada, the daughter of Eli, the Hittite, and Aholibama, the daughter of Anna, the daughter of Zibion, the Hivite, and Bathshemoth, Ishmael's daughter, sister to Abijah, and Ada bare to Esau Eliphaz, and Bathshemoth bare Reuel. And then, alongside of this, you'll find that for many years that the followers of Ishmael and the followers of Esau worked together quite a bit. And of course, they were not for Israel, never have been. And Aholibama bare Jeush and Jalem and Korah. These are the sons of Esau, which were born unto him in the land of Canaan. And Esau took his wives and his sons and his daughters and all the persons of his house and his cattle and all his beasts and all his substance which he had got in the land of Canaan, and went into the country from the face of his brother Jacob. Oh, he's moving out. For their riches were more than that they might dwell together, and the land wherein there were strangers could not bear them because of their cattle. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir, and Esau is Edom. That's another name for Esau, Edom. And these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites in Mount Seir. Another ending of a chapter of the 12 books of Genesis. And these are the names of Esau's sons. Eliphaz, the son of Ada, the wife of Esau. Reuel, the son of Bathshemoth, the wife of Esau. And the sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, and Gatam, and Penias. Don't forget this Teman, you get it in the book of Job. And Timna was concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bare to Eliphaz Amalek. These are the sons of Ada, Esau's wife. Now you can see where the Amalekites come from. That gave Israel trouble when they came out of Egypt and they had a battle. And they were just taking over the land. And God said that the Amalek would be completely and thoroughly destroyed. So the last one. And that came to pass. I wonder how many folks know when and where and so on that this happened. You'll find it in the book of Esther. Haman was the last of the Amalekites. And he and his sons were hanged, and that was the last. Well, that's going ahead a little in the story, but I want you to be able to follow these threads sometimes when you're reading and know which is what. And so, Timna was the mother of Amalek. And her husband was Eliphaz. Now these are the sons of Ada, Esau's wife. And these are the sons of Reuel: Nahath, and Zerah, Shammah, and Mizah. These are the sons of Bathshemoth, Esau's wife. Now, Reuel here is another name for the son of, or for the father-in-law of Moses. That is one of the names he bore. We have about three names for him. Whether this is the same one, it couldn't be, because there's too many hundred years passing in between. These are the sons of Reuel: Nahath, and Zerah, Shammah, and Mizah. These were the sons of Bathshemoth, Esau's wife. And these were the sons of Olibama, the daughter of Anna, the daughter of Zibeon, Esau's wife. And she bare to Esau Jeush, and Jalam, and Korah. Excuse me if I make some repetitions here sometimes. These are dukes of the sons of Esau. Now, the word duke in the English means a leader. Comes from the Latin, D-U-X, dux. And the sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn son of Esau: Duke Teman, Duke Omar, Duke Zepho, Duke Kenaz, Duke Korah. See this name Korah coming up. Duke Gabim, and Duke Amalek. These are the dukes that came of Eliphaz in the land of Edom. These were the sons of Adah. And these are the sons of Reuel, Esau's son: Duke Nahath, Duke Zerah, Duke Shammah, Duke Mizah. These are the dukes that came of Reuel in the land of Edom. These are the sons of Bathshemoth, Esau's wife. And these are the sons of Aholibama, Esau's wife: Duke Jeush, Duke Jalam, Duke Korah. These were the dukes that came of Aholibama, the daughter of Anna, Esau's wife. These are the sons of Esau, who is Edom, and these are their dukes. These are the sons of Seir, the Horite, who inhabited the land: Lophan, and Shobal, and Zibin, and Anna, and Dishan, and Azer, and Dishan. These are the dukes of the Horites, the children of Seir, in the land of Edom. And the children of Lotan were Hori and Heman, and Lotan's sister was Timnah. And the children of Shobal were these: Alvin, and Manahath, and Ebal, Shepho, and Onam. And these are the children of Zibeon, both Aja and Anna. This was at Anna. That found the mules in the wilderness, as he fed the asses of Zibeon his father. And the children of Anna were these: Dishan, Aholibama, the daughter of Anna. And these are the children of Dishan: Hemdan, and Eshban, and Ithram, and Sharon. The children of Ezer were these: Bilhan, and Zilon, and Achan. And the children of Dishan are these: Uz, and Aaron. There's the word Uz comes up later in history too. These are the dukes that came out of the Horites: Duke Lotan, Duke Sobel, Duke Zibeon, Duke Anna, Duke Dishan, Duke Ezer, Duke Ishan. These are the dukes that came of Hori among their dukes in the land of Seir. You notice some of these names are repeated, and so we wouldn't be more than one with the same name, so we'd have a little trouble getting them all separated, wouldn't we? These are the kings that reigned in the land of Edom before there reigned any king over the children of Israel. And Bela the son of Beor reigned in Edom, and the name of the city was Dinhabath. And Bela died, and Jobab, the son of Zerah of Bozrah, reigned in his stead. Jobab, here in verse 33, is quite likely the Job of the book of Job. And Jobab died, and Husham of the land of Timani reigned in his stead. And Husham died, and Hadad, the son of Bedad, who smote Midian in the field of Moab, reigned in his stead. And the name of his city was Avith. And Hadad died, and Samla of Masareka reigned in his stead. And Samla died, and Saul of Rehoboth by the river reigned in his stead. And Saul died, and Baal-Hanan, the son of Achor, reigned in his stead. And Baal-Hanan, the son of Achor, died, and Hadar reigned in his stead. And the name of the city was Pan. And his wife's name was Ahithophel, the daughter of Mephred, the daughter of Mezahab. And these are the names of the dukes that came of Esau, according to their families, after their places by their names, Duke Timnah, Duke Alva, Duke Jetheth, Duke Aholibamah, that name comes up many times, Duke Eloah, Duke Tinan, and Duke Kenaz, Duke Timon, Duke Mizbar, Duke Magdiel, Duke Aram. These be the dukes of Edom according to their inhabitations and the land of their possession. He is Esau, the father of the Edomites. Well, Edom didn't have a very good name, did he? Chapter 37, Genesis. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock of his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Jacob brought unto his father their evil report. A little tattletale, we would say, wouldn't we? Well, maybe it was his business. Maybe he should have done it. Well, actually, it worked out right anyhow. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. Jealous. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. Behold, your sheaf stood round about, made obeisance, or bowed to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And I hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told us his brethren. I think he should have kept still. And said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars are constellations made obeisance to me. And he told to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee and to the earth? And his brethren envied him. But his father observed the saying. After all, I began to wonder now just what's going to come of all this anyhow. And his brethren went to feed their flocks, father's flocks in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, I and I will send thee unto them. But he said to him, Here am I. Now here is Shechem, where Dinah had gotten into trouble. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. I don't know if this was wise or not, having a brother to spy on his brothers. And a certain man found him, behold, he was wandering in the field. The man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. I said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams. Well, you can't fight against God. Joseph had received these dreams, and they went with their getting into heathendom and so on, as much as they were, and so on, they couldn't recognize the finger of God in anything. And Reuben, that's the eldest, remember, the son of Leah, heard of it, and he delivered out of their hands and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him. And of course, Reuben had an idea there, parenthesis, that he might read him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. So Reuben was a good boy. And it came to pass when Joseph was coming to his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. And they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profited if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchant men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. 20 pieces of silver. Well, 20. We see this once in a while, and it tells us note that that's a symbol of disappointment. Disappointment. Disappointed expectancy. Well, you can follow that down if you want to. And he brought Joseph into Egypt, the lad of 17. And Reuben returned unto the pit. He wasn't with this transaction. He'd probably gone into town to get some provision or something. And behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not. And I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in blood. And they sent the coat of many colors. And they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. All his sons, all his daughters, rose up to comfort him, and he refused to be comforted. He said, for I will go down into the grave, hell, Sheol, Hades, unto my son. So then he believed that Joseph had gone to hell or to Hades, the grave. Thus his father wept for him. This grave, so on here we find in Job 14:13, is spoken of as hell there, and Job prayed that he might be hid in hell or the grave until the wrath was passed. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Notice his position now that Potiphar has, close to the king, the Pharaoh, captain of the guard, which would put him in a pretty close relationship. And that will give us a little key maybe to what happens after, then give us some reasons for it. Well, now we've come down to chapter 38, which we will try to take up the next time. I am doing quite a bit of reading and not doing a great deal of explaining because much of it is self-explanatory. But we should read these things and become acquainted with them because many of these names and incidents come up later. And we should learn all of Scripture. Dear Father, we do thank Thee for Thy Word, for His truth. Thank Thee for all these stories that Thou hast given us of the past that we might benefit, take heed from the things that have gone on before. I'm thankful, too, that we are given through all of these the genealogy of the one who is to come and bruise and crush the serpent's head. We do ask that Thou would guide and direct all of our studies, that we may have an understanding, that we may be able to apply the things to our own lives and selves, and help and guide that we may be able to be a blessing to others through Christ's ministry. Amen.